It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's talk a bit of the world game of the program with our dear friend Adam Kwasnik. Mariners legend is on the line right now. Morning, Quaz.
Good morning, guys.
Mate, we're just giving a huge rap there to Joshy Nisbet. We're likely to see him debut for the Socceroos on Tuesday.
Oh, wouldn't we love that? I'm hoping as a massive Mariners fan and a massive Josh Nisbet fan that he gets a bit of game time. But there's obviously scope for it as well with a couple injuries and Keanu Backus being suspended. So he's hoping that he gets his opportunity and it's going to be rewarded. What a season he's had. Remarkable for the Mariners. Probably over the last couple of years now, he's been the mainstay there and one of the brightest young players in the A-League at the moment.
So we saw goals. Just give us your thoughts on that match on Thursday night. Quaz, 2-0, so they got the result most importantly. We've got the other leg on Tuesday in Canberra. But, you know, Backus and Rolls, and nice to see Rolls get on the board. But, you know, it was a physical toll to emerge from that game. It just seems to me still that, you know, they played Yenge and Taggart up front, but it's just, you know, wasn't really able. I think Yenge had a shot, but after that it looked a bit, I guess, skinny on the ground, didn't it, in terms of just finding the back of the net. And I don't know, you got a concern from what you see about the type of football we're playing and the ability to score?
Look, Julian, I think, you know, they got the result, which is the most important thing. And look, to be honest, I agree with you, it wasn't great with the ball. Knowing Graham Arnold, you know, he would base his game built around defence, and I thought they were really good defensively. Even though they were up against Lebanon. I thought, you know, I think jet lag came into it a bit, you know, the last 10, 15 minutes. You could see, you know, you had players flying in on Tuesday and Wednesday and then rocking up for a World Cup qualifier on Thursday. So, you know, not really suited. But, look, as you mentioned, they got the result. A little bit clunky with the ball. But hopefully on Tuesday in Canberra, they'll put on a better performance.
Yeah, hey, Quaz, it's Butte. Just a quick one, going back to Josh Nisbet and, you know, potentially seeing a debut for him in Canberra next week, as a former player for the Mariners, how do you think the club's transformed over the last couple of years? Obviously a struggling club. I think, you know, based off these last couple of years, the progression the club's made, the transition from, you know, young academy players to the first team, who do you give that success up to? Who do you think had the biggest influences on the club, and do you think they could go back-to-back this year?
Yeah, look, I think the transformation's been, you know, incredible. You know, after 2013 and winning the title then, there was obviously a few lean years, but, the last, you know, under Nick Montgomery, I think there was, you know, the club was somewhat stable, and you had Sean Millichamp as well, and then you had a lot going on in the background, as you mentioned, you know, some players coming through or getting an opportunity through the academy, and then Monty bringing him into the first team. I think it's been an amazing period for the club, and you know, you've got to give credit to those guys that have been there, you know, the longest. The likes of Nick Montgomery, plied his trade in the NPL first team, and he had his assistant with him as well, and then Sean Millichamp in the backroom staff being the CEO. Yeah, they've just done an amazing job, and unfortunately both have moved on, but it's an opportunity for someone else to come in and take the reins and hopefully take the club to another level. And I honestly think, Matty, that there's definitely an opportunity to go back-to-back. I said it last time I was on the program to Julian. I don't see any team in the A-League whatsoever. Oh, really? And Julian actually thought I was dark-clouding the Mariners, but they went on that weekend and yes, won convincingly against Motapa.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah,
they did.
Back to back on the cards for sure.
Fingers crossed. Hey, just in the Women's A-League, the Mariners play Melbourne City 4 p.m. this afternoon. Quaz, give us a tip.
Well, the last time these two teams played, it was a 1-1 draw at Industry Group Stadium. I think it's going to be another tight one. I'm hoping, you know, I watched the Mariners girls train a little bit this week up at Central Coast Sports College. They're looking good, and Emily Hubbard's got them really training well and performing well as well at the right time. There's only a couple games left, and I think this game in particular could shape that final series dramatically, and let's hope the Mariners can get a win.
Yeah, that's awesome, Coz. Talking outside of the A-League now in women's football, which is obviously exciting women's football at the moment. You know, the draw just come out for the Matildas as well, preparing for Paris, the Olympics this
tough.
Year, which it's a tough pool. You know, you've got some big teams there, such as Germany and USA, and potentially Zambia or Morocco to fill out that group, which is exciting for the Matildas because I think a lot of the girls, based on what I've been told, this is the last time that as a senior group they'll have a chance to win a major title. Where do you think women's football is going? And, you know, based off the back of success at the World Cup last year with the girls and what that did for Australia, how do you think they're going to go in Paris?
Look, I think the game's come an extremely long way for women in this country. And, you know, the World Cup last year was an unbelievable achievement. You know, obviously not quite getting to the heights that I think the nation wanted the Matildas to do, but, you know, there's definitely scope for that coming into Paris at the Olympics this June, July. Look, it's most definitely a group of death, and I honestly believe Tony Gustafsson needs to have, you know, his strongest players available. You know, the games against the US, you know, they had a shocking World Cup, let's be honest. They would be wanting to bounce back most certainly. And then Germany as well, they weren't really, you know, too fussy in their World Cup, you know, last year. So, look, it's going to be most definitely a group of death. But if they can have their strongest squad, I think, yeah, it's the last opportunity to really, you know, maybe get some silverware, you know, whether it's a gold, silver or bronze medal. So, again, you know, I'm just like everyone. The game's gone to another level, and we've got to really support the Matildas in France this coming June.
Yeah, I mean, just on that before we let you go, I mean, this juggernaut just continues to go on and on. 14th consecutive home sellout is looming, right? So this is the game against China. 31st of May, 30,000 tickets snapped up in a pre-sale. The remaining tickets went fast on Monday, right? And I see Mary Fowler as well scoring for Man City. So, I mean, they're already selling out, you know, a month and a half in advance. This is how big this team is. And it's our team. It's the national team. And there's a lot to be proud of. Quaz, always good to get your thoughts, mate. Best of luck to the Mariners and best of luck as well to the Socceroos. And hopefully we see Joshy Nisbet debut in Canberra on Tuesday.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.